If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. We're continuing. We had a month hiatus doing the missions month, and we're continuing the series that we started literally when I started at RCCC. Well, how long was that? Like over 2 years ago, almost three years, this September, October. And so through the Bible, we're in the book of Philippians, and so hopefully by the end of this year, we'll go to Revelations, and then Lord willing, we'll do an expositional preaching into like books of the Bible, Old, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, until the Lord comes back. So that's the plan. And alrighty. You could all rise and turn to your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to read two verses. And I want to try to unpack these two verses for us this morning. Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13. And after I read it, I'm going to say this is the word of the Lord. And if you could all with one voice say thanks be to God, and you could have your seat. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, this is God's word to us this morning. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. You may be seated. Oh, since I didn't preach for the last straight four Sunday, let me just pray one more time. I think I need help. Just pray right now. Please pray for me and as I pray for all of you now, let's pray. Father, we have your children. We have read your word. I pray that you will help us to see your work in us through your Son. Help us to see your truth here clearly. In our minds, and Holy Spirit, Lord, do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. We need your power to work in us now. Through your truth, your word is truth, and your word will set us free. Help us. May your word come alive in power and clarity. Increase our faith in your Son, I pray. Help us now. Be our teacher. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit and then through Christ. Amen. The title of the message, as just the text says it, is to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And before I try to tackle that main phrase and the verse 12 and 13, it's like a sandwich, let me talk about make sure you understand that salvation is not by works, but by faith alone. Say that one more time. Salvation is not by works, your good works, but by faith alone. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. What I'm trying to do is to work out your salvation is not this, okay? It's a different kind of And it seems a little bit confusing because the word work is all used, but let me give you this and establish that we're not saved through our own good works. Okay. And I've said this many times before, but let me say it again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And you can say faith alone. Faith in Christ alone, grace alone, through Christ alone. And this is not your doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Or Romans chapter 4, verse 5. And to the one who does not work, but believes or faith in Him, which is Christ, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. The Bible is pretty clear. Paul is very clear that you do not contribute any of your work for your salvation. For your salvation. Versus what Paul says in this text. This text. Work out your salvation. Or work up your salvation. Work for your salvation. Work up your salvation. And this text says, work out your salvation. No, you can't work for your salvation. If that is your theology in your mind and in the practice, you're trying to be a good person, do the right good things, so that you will get approval from God, justified, accepted by God, you will perish. Your faith has to come from outside of yourself. A goodness, a work, apart from you. From another person, namely Christ, and what He did. His life, His death, and resurrection is your faith. That is your hope. That is the works, the finished work. His life, death, and resurrection is your faith. That is your hope. That is your hope of God accepting you. Or Paul says, you are covered with the righteousness of Christ. That is your salvation. Not your good works. You don't work up your salvation. You don't work for your salvation with your good work. You trust, your faith is in the finished work of Christ alone, by faith alone, through grace alone. All right. In other words, the reason why God accepts you, the reason why God is pleased with you, forever. The reason why God now, through faith in Christ, accepts you and adopts you forever as God's child. Not through your good works. That is a false gospel. But through the finished work of what Christ did on the cross. His life, His death, and His resurrection. Okay. So if it's not that, what is Paul talking about? Look at what he says one more time. Therefore, the word therefore is really important. I'll get to it really in a second. Therefore, my beloved, talking to Christians, those who profess to be Christians, who are in the church, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for, not work up,
Paul says you can't do that.
That is not salvation. What is work out? Work it out. Your own salvation with fear and trembling. What does work out your salvation mean? What is salvation? This word salvation, in a holistic sense, is not just that God saves you from your sin. It means that. But why does God save you from your sin? How come? What is it for? Like, He doesn't condemn you for your sin, past, present, and future. What's that for? The reason God sent His Son, one and only Son, is so that you would be cleansed of the wrath of God, is to forgive you of your sin, so that you might... What's the end? What's the end of your salvation? What is it? Anyone? Anyone shout it out? It's so that you might be with God in heaven. Live with God in heaven forever. And in order for you to live with God in heaven forever, He had to save you from your sin. A decisive action that He did when you had faith in Christ. And in order for you to be fit and ready to live in heaven, which is God-centered, no sin up there is, He started this work, saved you from sin and the wrath, and He's conforming you, changing you to what? To this world? No! He's changing you more and more to the very image of Christ. The likeness of Jesus. This morning, if you want to be like Christ, and that is your passion, you're in pretty good company. That's a pretty good test of fruit that you're probably a Christian. That you've been justified, forgiven in Christ Jesus. It's not just a truth in your head. You want to. He's the most beautiful thing in this universe. And you want to be like Him. That is your passion. The likeness of Christ in salvation now becomes your full-time job. There's nothing more important. It will be your passion, your devotion, dedication, effort. Yes, your own effort. Work out. Work hard every day to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Something that God started whenever the Lord saved you, when you were converted. You know my story, right? I was converted when I was 19. My dad was a pastor, grew up in the church, never saved until I was 19. And at that moment, whatever that time when God awakened you to your sin and to Christ, He has started this process of your salvation, getting you ready for this awesome place called heaven to live with God, making you more like Christ. And He's working all things in your life to conform you to Christ. He will put sufferings in your life to conform you to Christ. to learn His Word. And His Word is centered around who Christ is. To study and be trained in this Word. The center and the main purpose of this Word is to describe Christ for us. The depth of Christ. The width of Christ. The height of Christ. He will use anything to orchestrate your life, and the main goal is to make you look more and more and more like Christ. You could do it the easy way or the hard way. It seems to me I always learn the hard way, the painful way. And I've shared this many times, but one of the very effective, one of the ways that God seeks to make you more like Christ is through discipline. The word discipline is a sort of a light way of saying punishment. To awaken you. And you know the story. Christian for about 2 or 3 years. And I was harboring this sin in my life. Past more than a year. I knew it. And in the midst of harboring this sin in my life, man, my life generally was going pretty good. School was going pretty good. I became eventually the president of Agape Christian Fellowship. You know, the fellowship seems to grow. And yet, I was bathing and rebelling against God. I knew it. And God had enough. And He disciplined me. God disciplines those He loves. He disciplines only His children. And He disciplined me. He put suffering and trial in my life. I got sick, really sick. Eventually, they didn't know exactly what I had in the hospital. And finally, they found out exactly what my disease was. But I know in my heart why this happened. It was so clear to me. It's not because God hates me. Remember, I'm a Christian now. He's conforming to the very image of Christ. And I was harboring the sin in my heart. And God, through this painful experience, awakened me to stop this thing. Of course, it stopped. And I knew it. It was so clear. And instead of me saying, God, what is he doing? Idiot, you know what you're doing? I mean, my college stopped. Can't finish, you know? Seems like I'm going to be another year. What are you doing? No, I didn't do that. Even though I was a young Christian, I knew that this was God's discipline because He cared for me. He loved me. And I knew why this was happening, because He was trying to help me to be more like Christ. And I told my mom, I still remember on the hospital bed, as they were doing all kinds of tests in me, I said, Mom, can you bring me my Bible? I want to read His Word. Because I know why this was happening to me. God was trying to work out my salvation through suffering, through punishment, through discipline. God knows how to do it. He knows you. He knows how to get your attention. And it doesn't have to be your sin. Often it is your sin. But sometimes, like Job, it's not your sin. But still, through the trial and suffering, might not be sin. And he brings that trial and suffering into your life to conform you, to change you, to get you back on the page, the narrow path, because he cares for you. It's not hard to wake up every day to read and learn and do everything that the Word says. First, you need to know what He says. You need to know what God's will is. I often see Christians, young and old, make up things about what God's will for you is. It's not in the Scripture. We make it up. Because I hear it. Don't do that. Learn in your Word. Read it daily. Every other day, I don't start somewhere. Some of you are not even reading the Bible. So busy with life. Well, start somewhere. Read once a week. 15 minutes. I don't know. Start somewhere. May God put the fear into your life. Find out what the truth is. What is God's will? Of course, I've been, working with a lot of the young folks, college and young adults, and they're always like just all out of place. Oh, God, I don't know what my will is, my life. What is it? And mainly they're talking about like what job or career to do. Who cares what you do and how you make a living? Do something, it's fine. Do it. Your will, not just singles, adults, your will as a God's child, saved, to work it out, is to study, student of this Word. That is your calling. That is your will every day when you wake up. To be disciplined in His truth. Little by little. Taking what God says very, very seriously. When God says, work out your salvation, He says, don't touch that. That's dangerous. Then you obey. The Spirit, if you're a Christian, works in you. The Spirit, through His truth, says, Q, don't touch that. Don't look at that. Don't do that. Don't spend a lot of time in that. Petty things of this world. Spend time in the eternal matter. That really counts. Not temporal things. That's not your passion. Your passion, your full-time job, is to conform to the very image of the Son. That is your passion. That is, in essence, your will. And do whatever you want to do. I don't know, whatever that is. Musician, go do it. Programmer, go do it. Whatever, business, do it. But God's will for you is to be saturated to know His Word. Every one of you. Every one of you. Not ignorant, to master His truth so that you know to work with God as you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. All right. Now, I kind of jumped the gun here. The reason how you work out your salvation, okay, is the word therefore. Therefore, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, when Paul says therefore, he said something before that was going to help you, almost like a foundation of this, how to work out your salvation. And he talks about this humility of Christ. Who Christ is. Let me read it for you. He said, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, under the earth, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He talks about the humility of Christ, and do you know what he says to Christians? He says, you and I are in Christ. This man, this God-man who humbled himself, who lived a perfect life, who God raised him up. And he says, you and I, if you're a Christian, a genuine Christian, he says, right here, he says, to all the saints who are in Christ Jesus, in this humble man, the God-man, and he says, you are in him. You are united to him. In this truth, you work it out, your salvation. The answer is not you work it out with your own power. No, you are united to this man. He is God. He is man. He was obedient even death. He was obedient even point of death, even death on a cross. You are united to this man. And the reason how you are now working out your salvation in obedience with fear and trembling is by uniting to this man now. You are getting the blessings of his obedience. He is the vine, you are the branches. When you are united to this man, you are getting the power that he had. The life that he has when he was a man. Obeying his Father. Every single second, every single hour, every single day, every single month, every year, perfect. And now you are united to this man now. Even though it might be daunting to be like Christ, it is possible now. Along with your effort. Strenuous effort. To be connected to Christ every day. Abide in Him every day. Through His words, the fellowship of other Christians who tell you the truth. Who speak the truth. I love hanging out with people would tell me, remind me all the time the truth. Not the football score or basketball score. Who cares? With the social media going on, who cares about that? I don't care. I care about being more like Christ. I want to hear truth.
What you've been learning today?
What hit you as you read your word? Let me hear it. Teach me. And as God teaches you and conforms you, tells you, put to death your sin. Hate your sin. There's an enemy who's going to try to destroy you. You need to know that. And what are the resources that God has given you to work out your salvation, to be more conformed to Christ when all this opposition happens? What is he doing? And what are the resources that God has given us to withstand the attacks of darkness and Satan? He tells us every single step, every single resource, everything that we need to be conformed to the very image of Christ so we can live with him forever. So how are we doing? How are we doing? You got to start here. Read it. Study it. You know, one of the things I'm considering on doing in the near future is talk about many things, the names of Christ Jesus. Christ the Son has many names. And each name, he has like 80 plus different names. He's not just your Savior. He's not just your Lord. It's 80 different plus different things that you need to know and the things that he's trying to do to you. Every name describes a work, a special work that he does that you need to know. The resources from Christ that you need at that moment, at that trial, at that sin, at that attack from Satan, a truth about Christ that you need. The Word has amazing resources for his people. You must master his Word. It takes some discipline. It takes some effort. It takes... Sam, can I study the Bible with you today? It's hard, isn't it, to try to study the Bible, read the Bible every day on your own. Many of you are not disciplined to do it. It's a little bit easier if you do it together. If you're honest, I know you have all these goals, New Year's resolution, to read your Bible. And Satan attacks, your flesh is weak, and he goes out the door. And Satan's all over that. Work out your salvation with fear. I'm running out of time. You could just say, work out your salvation, and that's it. You know, he said, with fear. What's going on here? And it coincides with the word obedience. Don't obey just in my presence. Don't obey just when other Christians are around. Don't obey and work out your salvation and do the Christian things when pastors are around, when you come to church on Sunday. Work out your salvation when no one's looking. Read your Bible, not just to impress someone. Work out your salvation because it is needed. But with fear. It's interesting. Like, why is it so negative? And people use the word fear of the Lord and make it so confused. Fear is like this. Fear is a built-in characteristic in almost all living creatures. He built fear in you. and me is a fail-safe measure that we fall back into to avoid pain and injury and death, is being alert about our surroundings and finding the safest way through the dangers. I mean, if you weren't for fear, you'll walk right into a disaster and not even think twice. The house is burning, the collapse, you just walk right in. Of course you're not going to do that, there's the fear. You go into the house, you get burned. Of course you're not going to walk right in. So here is just a demonstration. Here's a fire, right? Now, most people here know the fire is dangerous. If you put, oh no, if you put for a couple seconds, you know, it's not that bad, kind of warm, it's kind of good. But if you put it for a long time, it's dangerous. If you put your finger in a fire for like a minute, who wants to try it? The reason you don't do it is because of fear. You don't want to get hurt. You know, first degree, third degree, or second degree, burn. You don't want that. Right? Well, same thing when we work out your salvation. Fear is being careful to do what God says. Because you know, if you're not careful, if you put your finger for 1 minute, okay? You'll get hurt. There's dire consequences. So when Jesus says to you, stop worrying about things in this world, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. Seek first His kingdom and righteousness. You say, yes, sir. I obey. Not just in your mind. You practice that. That's the fear. When God, through the Spirit of the truth, said, Chen, stop wasting time in frivolous things, a stupid game or stupid whatever, or social media, you know? A little bit is all right. Spend hours and hours on whatever we spend a lot of time on. Not eternal matters. And the Spirit says, don't do that. Use your time wisely on important matters of your soul in conforming to the very image of Christ. Things above that. Because if you don't do that, bad things happen. You'll get disciplined. You keep when God tells you, don't do that. And because He loves you, learn the hard way, just like me, you will suffer. God's trying to wake you up.
Fear of the Lord as you work out your salvation is being careful to obey what God says. Not just on Sunday. When you're with your family, you're trying to work it out. When you're at home and no one is looking, no one is there, you are. When you're working at your work, you're not just Christian on Sunday. This is serious to you. You're not just to impress other people. So I always say, the people who really know that you are actually working out your salvation is probably those who really know you. They know you that you are taking and disciplining yourself in the Word. Learning, reviewing, thinking and praying. Your kids, can they say, oh, my dad, P.Y., he's reading his Bible. He's learning. My wife, not only in my presence, but in my absence. No one is looking.
It is so easy to pretend that you're working out your Matthew 7. I'm almost done. I'm running out of time here. And do you know how you know that you're working out your salvation? How you're doing it with fear? Before this passage, 7:21, right before it talks about fruit, you recognize someone who is not a wheat, okay, a child of God, by their fruit. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Not there. I'm going to read that in a little bit. Or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruit. By their, what? Working out your salvation with fear and trembling, those who are united to Christ. Careful. Learning. Doing, obeying, not just in His presence, but when no one's looking, you're working it out. And then He says, you recognize them by their fruit. Words are cheap. I think everyone here probably say you're a Christian, and I believe you. I don't know. Words practiced. The fruit makes you a good tree. Matthew 7, grace now. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who what? Who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Not what you think God's will is, what He has told you in His word. His will is. You need to find out. On that day, many will say to me, many, not a few, a lot. Out of 100, 90 will say to me, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, mighty works in your name? I mean, you will think, mighty works, cast out demons. Must be holy people. And power. You're like this with God. To show off. And He says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Here is someone, not only they're united to Christ, they're bearing good fruit as they work out their salvation. As God wills. It says, for you to work, to will and to work as God works in you, as you're united to Christ. And can you look at the diagram? The visible church is RCCC or any visible church building. People come in. Invisible church is how God sees it. And in the middle right there is someone who is a true Christian. In here, those who are united to Christ, who profess that you believe in Christ, one with Him, as you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's the middle. As you obey what He says in His word. As you learn what He says in His word. And practice what He says as you obey. And if you disobey, the Spirit's going to prompt you. And I hate when I sin. Ah! Help me, Lord. Help me. I am ruined. I'm a sinner. Forgive me.
restore me the joy of my salvation, and you try again. That's how you work out your salvation. The middle right there, the dark blue. Not just you profess Christ, but you believe in your heart as you obey, as you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Let me leave you with this. There's a hymn. I love this. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And one of the first stanzas says, when we walk with the Lord, walking with the Lord in the light of His Word. That's what faith is. You're walking with the Lord in the light of His Word. There is a fear. Not what the world says, what the Word says, and you know it. What a glory He sheds on our way. Where are we going? On our way where? 7-Eleven? No, heaven! While we do His good will. What's His will? In His Word, and you know it. You studied it. You spend your food. Continue to learn. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way. It's so true. These words are true. To be happy in Christ is to do what He says. That's how you work out your salvation. Be more like Christ. Prepare for heaven. Live with Him forever. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, oh Lord, our flesh is weak. Our flesh wants to do everything contrary to what your word says and what the Spirit is leading us, directing us. Oh Lord, we need your help. It is who you who work in us, both to will and to work for your good pleasure. Oh Lord, have mercy on your children as they passionately, strenuously, like an athlete, work out, press on their salvation that you have started as you work in them to work out their salvation, to be conformed to the very image of your Son, prepared to live in the promised land that you have prepared. Oh Lord, help us. Help us to take your word seriously as we leave this place. You'll put the fear of the Lord in our hearts now. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen.